You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
A few changes at this time because this morning the first joke didn't go over very well, so I'm going to leave that alone. Man, I got to know this guy from South Louisiana that doesn't have an accent and doesn't say God, he says God. I mean, you know, this is a guy from Raceland, Houma, Dulac. My father-in-law and I went shrimping in Dulac. That is the place I promised God I'd never do it again. Mosquitoes ate us alive. And that was the longest 3 days of my life. I want to start off with this truth, not a joke. My father-in-law was a shrimper. My wife's dad was also a lifelong employee of B.F. Goodrich before it went down. And he would take his employees and bosses and future son-in-laws and things out shrimping. And I think it was a torture mechanism. He took me out for 3 days, and I think it was, I don't know what he had in mind. For 3 days, I would pick shrimp, pick crabs, pick this, pick that, separate it, and put it on ice and this, that, and the other. And for those 3 days, with all the fish stuff and the yuck, there was a barrel by his cabin. And I would go by that barrel, and I would rinse my hands off. And I'd get all that stuff off my hands. And as the hours went by, my hands began to crack, and my hands began to get really horrible and very, very dry. And I asked my father-in-law, "You got any lotion after the first day?" And he said, "No, I don't have any lotion." And I just kept washing them in the water. And I thought, well, maybe it's a salt water. I'll try to use more fresh water back there. And the second day, it was horrible. It really began to crack. And I said, "Man, you got any cooking oil?" I'll stick my hands in cooking oil just to stop this process. And finally, after the 2 days there, he said, "Well, what in the world are you doing? Your hands getting so bad." I said, "Well, all I do is pick in the nets, and I go over here and I rinse my hands in this barrel over here." And he said, "That barrel?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "That's a barrel full of salt and formaldehyde. No, you've been pickling your hands for 3 days almost. I'd been sticking my hands in that thing and not knowing it." Well, a father-in-law that really loves you would have had compassion, but no, he laughed for the next 24 hours every time he would pass that barrel. It was good to get to speak to you, a man that can relate to what I'm saying, and I've really enjoyed last week and today. I'm going to go to the book of Acts this morning, and I want to kind of wind up before Brother Eric comes back with the next series of messages. And I want to seal this one with a message that I think we all need to consider very, very heavily. And that is, looking at the title of the message this morning, Fishing in Your Own Pond. Kind of a little bit deceptive. What in the world is this man up to today? What kind of a title is that? But every one of us has been saved, has been filled, and has been baptized in the Spirit of God with power from on high, ought to use that power to be fishers of men. And today I want to challenge you as we deal with this subject, fishing in our own pond, as we begin with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just challenge yourself today to listen with a mindset that asks yourself a very simple question. Am I being a fisher of men? Do I come to church? Do I soak up the word, go to work, enjoy being in church, then go home? Or do I really care about the souls of men? Let's read together Acts chapter 1, and it's actually verses 4 through 8, but I want to focus this morning on verse 8. But you shall receive power, dynamite, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Pray with me real fast. Father, as I speak to this second congregation this morning, as I ask you in the first service, I plead with you in the second one. Guide me through your word and give me the words you'd have me to speak to each person that's gathered in this room today. Please, Lord, make your Holy Spirit aware in each individual's life. And as you speak to them, may they respond according to your desire for them today. And as we leave here, Lord, I pray that we'd be better fishermen and fisher ladies for the souls of men. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In Hot Springs, Arkansas, we have more bodies of water, and in the area of Hot Springs, more places to fish than any place that I know of. As I said in the morning service, I grew up in South Central Arkansas between El Dorado and Crossett. In that area, there was two places I focused on, and that was a pond behind the church that my dad pastored out in the woods. And actually, I didn't say this morning earlier, but there was a little bitty creek called Lapeel Creek. It doesn't, I don't think, exist any longer. But as a young boy, I had a fishing pole in one hand and a gun in the other hand, and I rode my bicycle. I was either hunting and or I was fishing. For the little community Lapeel, in which I was raised in up until I was age 15, there was only one store ran by a lady whose daddy built that store back in the Civil War. And as a kid, I would ride my bicycle to that store and sit on the porch and talk to Miss Effie Langston. And on that bench that I would sit and talk to her on were the names of Civil War soldiers who had carved their names into that bench. That's how old that store was. And so that was a little area of which I grew up in, a little small community, one store, didn't even have a gas pump. All I could do was fish and hunt for entertainment. Due to the fact fishing was year-round, I did a lot of fishing. I love to fish. How many ladies and gentlemen here today would join me in saying that you love to fish? I rarely turn down an opportunity to go fishing from anyone. And if you have a private pond and it's got too many fish in it and you want me to take some of those fish out of that pond for you, please, please give me a call. I'll do anything in my power to help you to get those ponds empty. But how many of us can say we love fishing and then say that we love fishing for the Lord Jesus Christ, fishing for souls as much as we love the art of fishing? I, for one, can say that life can interfere with either one. But can we agree that the souls of our friends and our family need our time and our attention? I would say yes without hesitation. But you see, the call to be witnesses was a call for each child of God to go fishing within their own pond. To be a witness where God has placed us and to capture the hearts and the souls of our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, our acquaintances, and to spiritually reel them in to the family of the living God. Pastor Capace has been guiding us through a study on the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he's been trying to show us the awesome need to allow God's Holy Spirit to use us. How God desires to use each of his children that are indwelt, filled, and empowered by that Spirit. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of the living God. Spirit of God live in you today? You know, as it said, my old preacher told me one time, he said, you can usually get in a church service and tell which ones are filled with the Spirit. You can see it on their face. Folks, I can tell you, I've looked out at a lot of crowds over my 30 years in ministry. Brother, you probably have too, and you've seen some looks. I pastored a church here across town a few years ago. I'm going to throw this in this morning. It won't cost you anything. Within that church, there was a deacon that sat on the front row. And when it was time to shut down, there was no hesitation. He'd throw his hands way up in there. He wasn't praising God. He'd throw his hands to get the preacher's attention, and then he would do this and lay his hands on top of the pew. That was the most excited that man ever got, was at the end getting to get the pastor's attention to say it's time to stop. I just want to say something. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a Razorback game, football, basketball. Man, don't you love to call them hogs? Sorry about you Tigers, man, but that's okay. We love y'all too. We love to call a hog. Now, I don't do that suey thing three times. I think that's a little weird, you know, but, you know, I still love the hogs. I'm a hog fan. I'm an Arkansan at heart. I've always been one. I probably always will be. I married a Louisiana woman, LSU. She's torn. She's a half breed there, you know. She's half tiger, half hog. Depends on who's playing. You get excited at the games. When they're losing by 1 point and they're almost coming back, do you really get tense? You get all excited. You know what? Let me tell you something. If we don't get that excited, that tense, we come into the house of God, you realize something's wrong with us. If the hogs get us more excited than Jesus does or His Holy Spirit, you realize something is wrong. Now, having said that, do you understand that your life is worth an eternity to someone? Do we understand that the way we live our lives and relate to others is an issue of life or death? Now, that's spiritually speaking. What is your life worth? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, go. Little word, but go. The way most English translators render that word go is that Jesus was saying, as you're going, or while you are going, or since you're going anyway, make disciples. You're going to Walmart anyway, then try to win somebody to Jesus. Everybody goes to Walmart. If you raised your hand and said you don't go to Walmart, I just can't say I'd believe you. Everybody goes and puts gas in their car, their automobile. There's always a place that you and I go to that we're going to run into somebody that we can share Jesus with. The question is not, will I be an empowered witness? It's what kind of an empowered witness am I going to be? Because you see, go is not a suggestion. It's a command. You know, today's children are just a little bit different. But when my mama said, go to your room, it wasn't a suggestion. It's amazing how my daddy could look at me and I would just, yes, sir. I gave that look to my same two boys when they were growing up and they'd smile at me. I don't know. I never mastered my dad's look. But it worked. Go. The question is not, will you be empowered witnesses? It's the kind of empowered witness we're going to be. In a courtroom setting, witnesses are categorized in several ways. There's a lay witness. That's the average person that simply shares what they saw in a courtroom of what took place in an accident situation or murder, whatever the case may be. And then there's an independent expert witness. That's someone like a doctor or a lawyer or some type of professional that gives their expert witness testimony to help the person's case. And then there's the controlled expert witness. And that's the professional that's paid. Yeah, actually paid to give their testimony in a courtroom. But then there's also what they call a hostile witness. Hostile witnesses are someone, whether they like it or not, is called to testify, and they could help you and they could hurt you, depending on which lawyer gets a hold of you. We often convince ourselves that we have a choice to witness or not to witness. But you see, friend, the awkward truth is that those who have chosen to not be a witness have actually chosen to be a witness, but they've chosen to be a witness for the wrong side. They're not witnesses for Christ. You see, when we don't open up and share the good news of the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're actually just a witness for the wrong side. Because like it or not, the world is watching our lives for evidence of Christ in us. The call for the disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem was a call for them to go fishing in their own pond. I don't mean here that we just need to fish for souls inside this auditorium, okay? Hot springs may be your pond. Maybe Houma, Louisiana is your pond. Each of us has our own pond of relationships, that network of individuals that God has strategically placed us among to be witnesses. About 6 days a week, I spend 7, 8, 9, 10 hours at a single window meeting people all day long. Sometimes I'll hand a track out the window. Sometimes I'll go outside and I'll meet with a teenager and I'll be getting to talk. That's my pond because I spend a lot of time there. Your workplace may be your pond. Maybe you work 6, 7 days a week. You work 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Maybe you're a housewife and you have neighbors you spend a lot of time with. That's your pond. You see, each of us has that pond of relationships, and our ponds are all stocked, some more than others, but all of them have something to catch in them. Because every one of us has a need. In the first several chapters of Acts, we observe what made the disciples effective fishermen for the souls of men. You see, their principle became the standard for spirituality, spiritually speaking, for spiritually fishing in our own ponds, maybe a river, or maybe your environment's a lake. Let me point out two verses in particular as I look at principle number one, pray. Principle number one is to pray. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all joined together constantly, emphasize that word constantly, in prayer. You know, the Bible really teaches we're to pray about everything, even about what I eat, not over what I eat. Yeah. Do you pray about buying that car? Do you pray about buying all those groceries? You better pray before you buy groceries now. You'll overspend. It wouldn't help to pray before you go do it. But together they constantly were in prayer. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread. Here's the clincher. And prayer. Did you catch those principles? We're to pray about everything. The problem is we've got so used to making our own decisions, we forget to pray. In actuality, I know you think this is silly, but we ought to pray that about putting on our shoes. I'll tell you why. One day I went to put my shoes on, and before I got back up, I done down in my back. You could get down in your back just putting your shoes on. Do you realize the things that could happen? Getting up in the morning and going out the door, getting your car, going to work is just a habit for most. But you know what? Praying before you get in that car and get on that highway is a good idea. It's a good idea. Principle two. Show love to the church family. I go to Acts 2. Focus on this point. Prayer was the starting point of the witness of the first New Testament church. However, it was only the beginning. Their spiritual fishing bait. If you're a fisherman, you know you got a good bait that works, you use it. First New Testament church's fishing bait was love. I've been told rooster tails will be the best to use. Plastic worms are the best to use. Shrimp on a hook don't work in Arkansas, buddy. But it will down in Louisiana. You go put a night crawler down there in the Gulf of Mexico, ain't gonna do much. You see, where you go and you find people's needs, the proper bait's important. My father-in-law, the one I told you about that laughed at me for my cracking fingers, He stayed on a CB radio all night long, telling every boat that listened to him. The name of his boat was God's Gift, by the way. Hey, this is God's Gift. And he had read scripture all night long, sharing the gospel on that CB radio out in the Gulf of Mexico. He'll never know till he gets to heaven how many people were impacted by being on that CB radio for 10, 15, 20 years every night. That was his bait. Here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, what kind of bait would you use? Prayer was the starting point. You see, in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 46, we get a description of how the church lived as a loving community. Listen to these words. All the believers were together. That's connection. And they had everything in common. That's loving compassion. Look at this picture of loving fellowship. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to all as he or she had need. They broke bread in their homes, ate together, which is an act of loving acceptance with glad and sincere hearts. It's kind of nice, isn't it? Notice that this was more than handshaking. How you doing? I'll be honest, you know, there's a couple of people in here. When I first started coming here, it was just shake your hand, hi, how you doing? And I go and kind of mind my own business. But if you'll notice here, boy, these folks did things a lot different than just turn around, shaking hands, sitting down, minding your business and all that. These folks sacrificed personal belongings to meet the needs of the needy. And what was the result of this is found in verse 47, for being so generous with others. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Focus on the word daily. In Acts 4:32, we're given another description of church at work. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but shared everything they had. Do you think that would be easy to do in 2026? One out of every 10, maybe. But verse 35 clinches this, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. I'm going to tell you something. My wife's got her junk. Halloween, Christmas, Easter. I don't know if she'd be willing to give up some of that stuff. You see, I got my grandpa's tools. I got my dad's tools. I got my tools. I got my kids' stuff that they won't leave at my house. And, you know, there's a lot of, we have a lot of what? Stuff. It's my stuff, and it's my grandma's stuff, it's my grandpa's stuff. I can't get rid of my stuff. They were willing to get rid of their stuff and sell it to help the needy. Man, that's something. That's what I call Holy Spirit empowerment on full display. Would you not say amen to that? Principle 3, serve those outside of God's family, found in Acts 3. Did you know adding new fish to an aquarium is healthy for that aquarium? Adding new fish to a pond is healthy. I'll say something I didn't say earlier. I had a deacon that had big, giant deer in his backyard, his wife, and he fed those deer for years. And those deer had grown up back there, and she had them almost named. And he showed me the horns on those things, and I went, oh, can I come get one? Miss Ann said, oh, no, not my deer. I told her, I said, if you don't keep that herd thinned down, that inbreeding is going to cause diseases and problems in that herd. It's best to keep them thinned out. It's true. But I just really wanted a deer more than I wanted her not to let me get one. But that's true. Took 5 years to convince her to let us start thinning them deer out. 5 more years. It's a good thing to add new fish to the pond. Adding new souls to the church is a good thing. It's like bringing a baby into the family, that new child that brings a lot more time and less sleep. And all, but it's a great thing. It's a lot more work. Now, evangelism must be done where the unsaved people reside. Well, they are. As witnesses, we're going to have to go where the fish are. I can't sit in my living room in my recliner and catch fish. I got to get out of my chair. I got to get out of my house. I got to get in my vehicle. I got to drive somewhere in order to catch fish. I'm going to be honest with you. I fished in every lake in this city area. I have never caught a fish out of these lakes. None. Please, somebody take me and show me how. You take me to a pond or a creek, I promise you there'll be fish in my bucket. There's a pond on Sochi Hill exit, go down to Midway, 5-acre pond. One of my church members had that pond. If I ever got tired, stressed out, I'd go to that pond, throw my bait in there, my rubber frogs, and I'd catch fish all day. I'd leave happy, stress-free. I loved that pond until he sold it. My best friend, when I was really needing to do some thinking, was that pond. I can catch him in a creek. Give me a little old night crawler, I can catch a mud cat or a channel cat any day of the week. Ain't gonna do no noodling, but I'll catch him on a hook. Acts 3:6-8, Peter and John are on their way to the temple for prayer, and route they're waved down by a beggar who was a paraplegic. He was found at a particular gate of the temple every single day, begging for help from those headed to the worship services. He hit Peter and John up for a donation as they passed him by. And the scripture says, Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he jumped to his feet and he began to walk and praise God. Picture of empowered people empowering someone that's powerless. Does that jumpstart your battery today? To know that God has saved you and empowered you so that you could empower the powerless, much like here Peter says to this paraplegic, rise up and walk. Find people's needs, whether large or small. Be willing to do something about it. They were willing to sell all they had. Service as a primary witness was a principal pattern of Jesus. He came to serve. Do you find the disciples washing Jesus' feet or Jesus washing the disciples' feet? He washed their feet. You see, as a matter of fact, Jesus served, but after he would serve, he would teach, and he healed. But then after he healed, he would teach. And when he fed those who were hungry, he would then teach. You see, the idea is servanthood. Principle number 4, live a transformed life, found in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. Here in front of a religious bunch of leaders who just weeks before had conspired to have Jesus arrested and they had ultimately had him crucified, here stands Peter and John. These two uneducated in our society, we would see them this way. It explains it a little bit later. But these two uneducated, low-class, blue-collar fishermen, they're standing there confronting the religious leaders with the gospel. It's like going to your boss who's lost here in Las Vegas, confronting with the gospel. And in the scene here, Luke records this assessment in Luke 4:13. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and realized that these men, hear me, had been with Jesus. Do y'all know Raz Pittman? Look towards Raz if you know he's in there. He's right over there. I hadn't been around Raz Pittman 15 minutes. And you can tell he's a different guy. Amen. Who's Raz different? When he gets excited, he lets you know it. Yeah. Tell he loves the Lord. I knew something about this guy over here. I said something to somebody earlier. I just didn't know he was from South Louisiana because he didn't say God or something like that. Didn't use that language. How did you say, how did you change? He says he learned to talk differently from South Louisiana by holding your nose or something like that. My wife can pick up a Louisiana accent that fast. One day she worked in Monticello. We was in college together. Lady came in and she was talking and something like that. I was there to pick her up from work. And ironically, this lady was talking up at the service desk or something, and she picked it up. She heard it from way over where she was checking. The lady was leaving. She said, "You're from South Louisiana, aren't you?" She said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" It was the accent. She picks them up. "Raz Pittman, you can call me on the phone." She could hear across the room. She'd say, "Is that Raz?" She's got it. Are we that in tune with what God wants us to do? Being with Jesus had changed them, and that change was observed. Unsaved people can tell if you and I have been with Jesus or not. It is very evident. There's no guessing. My wife can go back to New Orleans and come back here talking just like this. She'd be in Arkansas for a couple weeks and she'd be talking just like this. You can tell where you've been. Let me tell you something. People can tell who you've been around by the way you talk, by the way you act. You see, is the Holy Spirit evident in you? Is he really as he really should be? If you all know the cowboy philosopher Will Rogers, he once said these words, and listen carefully. Will Rogers said this: "Live your life that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell the family talking parrot to the town gossip." That's true. Jesus said it this way, though: "Let your light shine before men," in Matthew 5:16, "that they may see your good works and praise your Father which is in heaven." Lead to principle 5. Tell them the truth. Acts 2, 3, and 4. Someone once said these words: "Too many Christians are like the Arctic River, frozen over at the mouth." We can't win the lost if we never open our mouths and tell them what the Bible says. And that's truth. It's not a truth. It's the truth. It's not a truth, it's the truth. And there are a lot of truths today. Their truth, my truth, everybody's truth. Get on Truth Social, my goodness, what a conversation you could create and never win the battle. But you see, God's Word, it's very evident, you know, God's Word is truth. Simply tell them the truth. Quote the Scripture and let the Scripture do its own work through the power of the Holy Spirit. What is truth? Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Chapter 4, verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved." These verses show us the lost, that the lost need Jesus. And that he's the only way to God, and that he is the only way to find salvation. Not going to church. I had a secretary one time, and she'd go to different church. Sometimes it'd be not Southern Baptist. And she said, "You know, I understand. I just came from X church. I know I'd be dunked again and come back to Southern Baptist church." And she said, "But this will be my 7th time. You go to Methodist church, come back, she go to Pentecost church." She goes to different places. She and her husband had to move. And sometimes it wasn't a very decent church to go to. She'd had to cross the line, and she'd have to come back. She said, "He baptized me every time." I said, "Well, you ought to got it right by now. But that ain't going to get you into heaven. Your name on every church roll in Hot Springs not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven? Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 10:9 and 10, "If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Isn't that powerful? Without repentance, though, there is no forgiveness of sin. I got to turn. You go out in Gulf of Mexico and you keep going straight. At some point, you don't turn around and go back to home. I don't know where you'll end up, but it won't be where you want. At some point in life, let me just make this clear. If we don't turn around in our life, it's going to lead. Where it leads, we don't know, but it'll lead you to where you don't want to go. At some point, you need to turn around and see the cross and know that that's the only answer. Here's conclusion. What kind of empowered witness are you going to be? Are we going to go fishing for men this week, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week? Many lost souls are depending on you and I to go fishing. I hope you'll get your bait. The bait that'll work. As Jesus went to the woman at the well, it was water that got the conversation going. Jesus ministered in many ways. He'd talk to farmers and he would talk in farmers' language. He'd go talk to fishermen and he'd talk in fishing language. I ask you today, to whomever you're relating to, when you share the gospel with them, relate to them. Maybe the bait is just simply loving them right where they're at. Not accepting their sin, just loving them. Loving them enough to tell them they need Jesus. If you need prayer or counsel today, in just a few moments, we're going to ask you to step out. Someone will be here with me here at the front to listen and or to pray with you. Maybe you would like to ask the Lord to make you a better fisherman or lady. Maybe you've taken for granted the preacher will win people to Jesus. The leadership of the church will do that. We just want to support the church, but everybody else can do all that stuff. Y'all know we got a lady in our. By the way, here's a plug. Is it okay to do this plug? We have a meeting right over here every morning at 9 o'clock, and there's about 19, 20 of us that meet over here. And we'd love to have you join us. I think we've got the oldest person in the church. Raz, is that true? Miss Marion Harrell back here. Wave, Miss Marion. She's 105. She still drives. And she drives like Mario Andretti. Woo. She's got more energy than I do. We have a great time. She still plays the piano for us. We sing back there in the morning. She's an awesome lady. We were talking before service here. It's amazing new things come to you when you talk to people, but she said, you know, one of the greatest places to talk to people is in an elevator. They can't get off. And they're stuck in there. And you know, another place is a doctor's office. They're there to see, they're going to wait for that doctor. They're going to say, so you're going to sit down and hand them a track, you know, and talk to them all day till the doctor calls me. Because I can tell you what, sometimes you go to the doctor, it's an hour wait. You have a long time to witness. Would you dedicate this week to be a better witness? Would you come and commit this week to being a better fisherman in your own pond? Counselors are going to be making their way to the front this morning. I watched Brother Eric do this 1,000 times. I'm not sure I'm doing it right, but I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet as the counselors are making their way down. I'm going to say a prayer. And as I pray, I'm going to ask you to think about, ponder the message this morning. The singers will lead us in a song here in just a moment. As they sing, after I pray, would you respond to the Holy Spirit and what He would have you to do this morning? Father, as you rise to your feet, thank you for this service today. Thank you for this opportunity to be gathered in this place. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, knowing that you have told us to go. And Father, I pray that we would continue to do as you have commanded. that before it's too late, before you send your son Jesus back to this earth to call your children home, I pray that we will help more and more and more every day be prepared for that hour. God, we love you for what you've already done, and we'll praise you for what you're going to do. And as we leave here today, make us fishers of men, for it's in Christ's name I pray.